The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Meg Mormon, casting agent. She is looking for a blind or visually impaired young man for the star of a feature film. From Cool Blind Tech, we have articles on Deaf Talk, T-A-W-K, in Pakistan, screen recording on your iPhone, Edge on Windows 11 can generate image labeling automatically. From the-sun.com, Google warns of a hack that can take over your banking. From techexplorer.com, new energy-saving transistor. From Blind Post, we will have snippets of their April newsletter. So, I will start. From Meg Mormon, M-O-R-M-A-N, I'm an L.A.-based casting director conducting a nationwide search for the lead of a feature film. We are looking for young men ages 15 to 20 who are blind or low vision. Acting experience is not required. This is a paid job with experienced filmmakers shooting in Toronto. I would love to know if you have anyone who fits our needs. Information about the film, role, and auditioning. Jake Bellman, 15 to 19 year old male, white. The character is blind, and we are looking for a person who is blind, legally blind, or visually impaired for the role. Fiercely intelligent but socially stunted, Mike has spent most of his young life alone in his room. His blindness from birth has left him isolated with no real friends or connections. He yearns for connection more than anything else, unable to find it at home with his older resentful brother or his overworked single mother. Mike reaches out to the world through his phone. Freaker, P-H-R-E-A-K-E-R, is inspired by true events. Before there were hackers, there were freakers. A blind teenager joins the early 2000s underworld of phone freaks, where he learns to hack his way to money, power, and eventually a place on the FBI's most wanted list. Director. Director Adam York's, Y-O-R-K-E, latest film, See For Me, which he co-wrote and co-produced, premiered at Tribeca in 2021 and sold internationally as one of the highest-selling Canadian films of the year. Released by IFC Film in January 2022 to both critical and commercial success, becoming the number one independent film on VOD in its first week, and hailed by Variety as a cult classic in the making. Thanks for your consideration. Meg Mormon, CSA, Mormon Bowling Casting, that's M-O-R-M-A-N-B-O-L-I-N-G, Casting. Cell phone 310-463-1984. Website mormonbowlingcasting.com at https://pro-labs.imdb.com/name/nm115-7623/. From coolblindtech.com, Deaf Talk, D-E-A-F-T-A-W-K, empowers the hearing impaired to overcome everyday challenges, posted April 11th. In 2019, Wamik Hassan, W-A-M-I-Q-H-A-S-S-A-N, a computer engineer, and two of his friends, Ali Shabar, S-H-A-B-B-A-R, and Abdul Qadir, Q-A-D-E-E-R, who are both visually impaired, co-founded the Deaf Talk app to empower Pakistan's deaf community. The startup recently made history by becoming Pakistan's first organization to provide live sign language interpretation service at the world's top mobile technology event, Mobile World Congress, MWC, in Barcelona. What are some of the features? The assistive app allows deaf users to sign up, connect with qualified interpreters, and use the service to communicate with anyone, including doctors, teachers, cab drivers, and relatives. The app currently has over 18,700 users and employs around 1,100 professional interpreters, offering services in six language styles, including Urdu, Chinese, English, and Malay. Where is the service available? Deaf Talk has expanded to 5 countries in 3 years. The company is now headquartered in the U.S. with branches in Pakistan, Singapore, Sri Lanka, and Denmark. Where can we get the app? The app is free to download on both Android and iOS. How much is the app? There are multiple packages that start from the affordable $5 per month. There are 18,750 users in Pakistan using DefTalk to communicate with the general public. The company has big plans for the future. DefTalk aims to be the next Google Translator for the 466 million deaf and hearing impaired people in the world. How to screen record on your iPhone, also posted April 11th. A screen recording captures everything you normally see on your screen directly to a file. But instead of a still image, it's a video that gets saved to your photos library. Screen recordings are great for capturing errors or bugs in action, making tutorial videos, and more. Keep in mind that you can't take a screen recording while mirroring your iPhone screen to another display. Otherwise, everything on the screen gets captured, including notifications. To enable the screen recording button, first open the Settings app. In Settings, select Control Center near the top. In Control Center Settings, swipe down and select Screen Recording with the plus symbol beside it. This will move it from the More Controls list to the Included Controls list and will make it show up in Control Center. Now that you've added the Screen Recording button to Control Center, covered in the section above, you can take a screen recording at any time. To do so, first open Control Center by swiping downward with one finger in the upper right corner of your iPhone screen. In Control Center, the screen recording button, a circle within another circle, will be located near the bottom of the panel with the other shortcuts. If you want to make a screen recording without audio, you can select the screen recording button once. However, if you'd like to capture audio from your iPhone's microphone during the screen recording, select and hold the screen recording button. If you select the button once, skip to the next step. But if you pressed and held the screen recording button, you'll see a special pop-up menu. To turn on microphone recording, select the microphone icon until it turns red and says Microphone On beneath it. Next, select Start Recording. After 3 seconds, your iPhone will begin recording all activities on the screen and your microphone audio as well if you enabled that option. You'll notice that both the screen recording icon in Control Center and the clock in the upper left corner of the screen turn red while your iPhone is recording. When you're finished capturing your screen recording, select the red clock in the upper left corner of the screen, then select Stop in the pop-up menu. You can also stop the screen recording by opening Control Center and selecting the screen recording button again. When it turns from red to white, you'll know recording has stopped. After that, you'll see a pop-up notification informing you that the screen recording you just captured has been saved to your Photos library. To view or share your screen recording later, open the Photos app as you usually would. Among your photos and videos, you'll see a thumbnail that represents the screen recording. Posted April 4th on CoolBlindTech.com, how to enable auto-generated image labels on Microsoft Edge. On Windows 11, Microsoft Edge now has an option to generate alternative text labels for images on the web that do not include them. The alternative text, or alt text, is a helpful label part of website code that screen readers use to describe the contents of an image to people with vision loss. Since not every image on the internet provides this information, Microsoft Edge processes the image without any information, using machine learning, ML, to generate a description automatically. The feature isn't perfect, but the description will be better than not having any information. Once you turn on the feature, the browser will send any JPEG, PNG, GIF, WebPage, and any other image format to the cloud for processing, and it'll return a description in 5 different languages and any text inside of the image in more than 120 languages. The feature won't work for images marked as decorative, smaller than 50 by 50 pixels, excessively large, or explicit. How to enable automatic image labels on Edge? Open Microsoft Edge. Click the Settings and More, 3-dotted, button in the top right corner, and select the Settings option. Click on Accessibility. Under the Make Microsoft Edge Easier to Use section, turn on the Get Image Description from Microsoft for Screen Readers toggle switch. Yes, click the Yes, I'm In button. Once you complete the steps, as you browse the web, if an image doesn't have a useful label, the browser will generate an alternative text label automatically. Enable auto-generation labels from Accessibility. To enable screen reader support through the accessibility settings, use these steps. Open Microsoft Edge. Copy and paste the following path in the address bar and press Enter. /accessibility/. Under the Accessibility Modes section, check the Web Accessibility option. Check the Screen Reader Support option. After you complete the steps, the browser will use ML to generate labels for missing alternative text on the image across the Internet. Posted March 23rd, Field of Vision brings sports in real time to visually impaired fans. In 2019, Omar Salem saw a video of two spectators at a soccer game. One of them was visually impaired, and his friend was tracing the action of the game on the man's open palm. Salem was struck by the generosity of the deed, but it also got him thinking, does the friend want to spend the whole game providing feedback? Wouldn't it be better if there were some way a visually impaired person could enjoy a soccer game independently? Omar realized that the problem could be solved with technology, and that's the origin of Field of Vision, explains David Deneher, D-E-N-E-H-E-R, who co-founded the company with Salem and Tim Farrelly, F-A-R-R-E-L-L-Y, in 2020. How does Field of Vision work? Field of Vision uses haptic technology, the use of tactile sensations such as vibration, to simulate the sets of touch and advanced computer vision modeling to provide visually impaired fans with real-time experience of what's happening. To access the game, a fan uses a box smaller than an A4 page with the imprint of a football pitch on the top. That would be a soccer field in American English. The action is transferred to the device via a magnetic finger piece that moves across the surface and mirrors the progress of the ball. Data is extracted from all the important action from the game using a feed from the cameras positioned around the ground, and an algorithm uses computer vision to track the location of the ball. The coordinates, three coordinates, they missed an R there, finds the location of the ball and sends it to the device in real time, and haptic motors, combined with auditory feedback, further immerse the user. The Field of Vision device is light, portable, and battery-powered, and is compatible with Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and 5G connectivity. Who are the main customers for the device? The main customers for the device will be sports venues that will buy the units and provide them to fans. It will be up to the individual venue to decide if there will be any charge to use the device, but the expectation is that it will be for free. The device only works inside the stadium. Our device is lightweight, handheld, and wireless, and it features multiple unique levels of vibration, giving the users a holistic sense of the game, while our AI model allows us to cover many live games at the same time with very low costs, Deneher says. Can the device accommodate for other sports? The top of the device can be changed to accommodate other sports, and while the founders are targeting soccer fans to begin with, the next step will be to expand their service to similar games. The company's founders met as youngsters attending Sutton Park School in Dublin and are all still in college. Salem is studying aerospace engineering at Queen's University, Belfast. Deneher is in third-year computer science and business at Trinity College, and Farrelly is studying computer engineering also at Trinity. To date, roughly €40,000 have been raised to fund the company's development, with support coming from Trinity College's Launchbox and the Alcessor Artificial Intelligence Accelerator. How much does it cost? The price of the device and where it will be manufactured have yet to be decided, but Salem says that, costs and logistics permitting, the preference would be to have it made in Ireland. Field of Vision is currently in a pre-testing phase with Bohemians FC, and several more trials are pending. Posted on the-sun.com by Jamie Harris, H-A-R-R-I-S, technology and science reporter. Google warning, scary phone hack takes control of your bank account in seconds. Billions of Android users across the globe have been warned of a scary new attack, which happens when you least expect it. Hackers have found a way to scam people when they think their phone is switched off. Don't open alerts by, like the image, their fake credit and threat fabric. In actual fact, cyber crooks have added a fake black screen to hide what they're up to underneath. They even remotely set the brightness to zero and disable notifications so victims won't get suspicious. This means they can go and do what they like on your phone without you knowing anything's going on. The malware lets them tap, write, copy, and modify what they see as if they were holding the phone in their hands. Even more worrying, it is also capable of monitoring your own actions, which comes in particularly useful for getting hold of sensitive PINs and passwords. It's a form of on-device fraud and banking malware called Okto. And according to experts, it has already appeared in the wild. Threat Fabric found it available on the dark web, where some of the worst net criminals work. Most of them use fake web browsers or Google Play Store app update notices on the internet to get people to download the malware. And an app called Fast Cleaner, which has had 50,000 installs, was also found to contain Okto. It was removed from the Play Store in February. Okto was actually a variant of a nasty Trojan called ExoBot Compact that was around in 2018. ExoBot Compact / Okto has dangerous capabilities powered by inventive distribution schemes, including droppers on official Google Play Store and malicious landing pages, Threat Fabric said. Thus, customers are very likely to fall into installing the malware on their devices, allowing the actors to have remote access to their devices and therefore to their banking accounts. There is a series of bullet points that you can read for more. Fast Cleaner app allegedly had Okto malware on IT Credit. Read all the latest phones and gadgets news, keep up to date on Apple stories, get the latest on Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram. Best phone and gadget tips and hacks. Looking for tips and hacks for your phone? Want to find those secret features within social media apps? We have you covered. How to get your deleted Instagram photos back. How to track someone on Google Maps. How can I increase my Snapchat score? How can I change my Facebook password? How can I do a duet on TikTok? Here's how to see if your Gmail's been hacked. How can I change my Amazon Alexa voice in seconds? What is dating app Bumble? How can I test my broadband internet speed? Here's how to find your Sky TV remote in seconds. We pay for your stories. Do you have a story for the Sun Online Tech and Science team? Email us at tech@the-sun.co.uk. Posted on techexplore.com by Scott Schrage. That's TECHXPLORE.com. And Scott, SCHRAGE, University of Nebraska, Lincoln. New transistor could cut 5% from world's digital energy budget. A new spin on one of the 20th century's smallest but grandest inventions, the transistor, could help feed the world's ever-growing appetite for digital memory while slicing up to 5% of the energy from its power-hungry diet. Following years of innovations from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln's Christian Binek and University at Buffalo's Jonathan Bird and Kiki Hay, the physicists recently teamed up to craft the first magnetoelectric transistor. Along with curbing the energy consumption of any microelectronics that incorporate it, the team's design could reduce the number of transistors needed to store certain data by as much as 75%, said Nebraska physicist Peter Dauben, leading to smaller devices. It could also lend those microelectronics steel-trap memory that remembers exactly where its users leave off, even after being shut down or abruptly losing power. The implications of this most recent demonstration are profound, said Dauben, D-O-W-B-E-N, who co-authored a recent paper on the work that graced the cover of the journal Advanced Materials. Many millions of transistors line the surface of every modern integrated circuit, or microchip, which itself is manufactured in staggering numbers, roughly a trillion in 2020 alone, from the industry-favorite semiconducting material, silicon. By regulating the flow of electric current within a microchip, the tiny transistor effectively acts as a nanoscopic on-off switch that's essential to writing, reading, and storing data as the ones and zeros of digital technology. But silicon-based microchips are nearing their practical limits, Dauben said. Those limits have the semiconductor industry investigating and funding every promising alternative it can. The traditional integrated circuit is facing some serious problems, said Dauben, Charles Bessie Professor of Physics and Astronomy at Nebraska. There is a limit to how much smaller it can get. We're basically down to the range where we're talking about 25 or fewer silicon atoms wide. And you generate heat with every device on an integrated circuit, so you can't any longer carry away enough heat to make everything work, either. That predicament looms even as the demand for digital memory and the energy needed to accommodate it have soared amid the widespread adoption of computers, servers, and the Internet. The microchip-enabled smartening of TVs, vehicles, and other technology has only increased that demand. We're getting to the point where we're going to approach the previous energy consumption of the United States just for memory alone, Dalvin said, and it doesn't stop. So you need something that you can shrink smaller if possible, but above all, you need something that works differently from a silicon transistor so that you can drop the power consumption a lot. Now that it works, the fun begins. Typical silicon-based transistors consist of multiple terminals. Two of them, called the source and drain, serve as the starting and end points for electrons flowing through a circuit. Above that channel sits another terminal, the gate. Applying voltage between the gate and source can dictate whether the electric current flows with low or high resistance, leading to either a buildup or absence of electron charges that gets encoded as a 1 or 0, respectively. But random access memory, the form that most computer applications rely on, requires a constant supply of power just to maintain those binary states. So rather than depend on an electric charge as the basis of its approach, the team turned to spin, a magnetism-related property of electrons that points up or down and can be read like an electric charge can as a 1 or a 0. The team knew that electrons flowing through graphene, an ultra-robust material just one atom thick, can maintain their initial spin orientations for relatively long distances, an appealing property for demonstrating the potential of a spintronic-based transistor. Actually controlling the orientation of those spins using substantially less power than a conventional transistor was a much more challenging prospect. To do it, researchers needed to underlay the graphene with the right material. Fortunately, Banach had already dedicated years to studying and modifying just such a material, chromium oxide. Crucially, chromium oxide is magnetoelectric, meaning that the spins of the atoms at its surface can be flipped from up to down or vice versa by applying a meager amount of temporary energy sipping voltage. When applying positive voltage, the spins of the underlying chromium oxide point up, ultimately forcing the spin orientation of the graphene's electric current to veer left and yield a detectable signal in the process. Negative voltage instead flips the spins of the chromium oxide down, with the spin orientation of the graphene's current flipping to the right and generating a signal clearly distinguishable from the other. Now you are starting to get really good fidelity in the signal, because if you're sitting on one side of the device and you've applied a voltage, then the current is going this way. You can say that it's on, Dalvin said, but if it's telling the current to go the other way, that's clearly off. This potentially gives you huge fidelity at very little energy cost. All you did was apply voltage, and it flipped. As promising and functional as the team's demonstration was, Dalvin said there exist plenty of alternatives to graphene that share its one atom thickness, but also boast properties better suited to a magnetoelectric transistor. The race to overlay chromium oxide with those other 2D candidates is already on, he said, and marks not the something, but the start of something. Now that it works, the fun begins, because everybody's going to have their own favorite 2D material, and they're going to try it out, Dalvin said. Some of them will work a lot better, and some won't. But now that you know it works, it's worth investing in those other more sophisticated materials that could. Now everybody can get into the game, figuring out how to make the transistor really good and competitive, and indeed exceed silicon. Arriving at that point was a long journey paved with a humongous number of advances, Dalvin said, particularly from the duo of Banach and Bird. This kind of project demonstrates how impactful and effective collaborative research can be, Bird said, combining as it does the renowned expertise in magnetic materials at Nebraska with Buffalo's capabilities in nanoscale semiconductor devices. Dalvin recounted just a few of the team's essential advances. There was the realization that magnetoelectric materials could provide a workable approach, the identification of chromium oxide, the modification of it, both to control its spin with voltage instead of power-draining magnetism, but also to ensure it would operate well above room temperature, because as Dalvin put it, if you're going to compete with the semiconductor industry, it can't just work in Nebraska in the winter. It has to work in Saudi Arabia in the summer. Then there were the theory-backed computer simulations and multiple early-stage prototypes. There was no Edisonian moment here. You kind of know where you're going, but it takes a while, Dalman said. There are a lot of technical problems to solve. It's a slog, and it don't look pretty. But sometimes the outcomes are absolutely spectacular, he said, and that's fun. From items included in the April Blind Post, the new Global Cane Outreach website. I just wanted to take this opportunity to invite all of you to check out the new Global Cane Outreach website. We have a new and improved website up and running now. We have a new layout and some new info on there. We will be adding more things later on. Please share our website with your family and friends. To check this site out, go to www.globalcaneoutreach.org. Sermons on the Phone is always being updated. Check it out at 773-572-6206. Your Personal Path to Fitness episode of Eyes on Success aired March 16, 2022. Episode 2211 is Your Visual Impairment Keeping You from Exercising and Being as Active as You Would Like? If so, this is the book for you. Hosts Nancy and Peter Torpy talk with Judy Dixon and Bonnie O'Day about their new book, Your Personal Path to Fitness, and some of the fitness opportunities that are available to people who are blind or low vision. Episode 2213, Seeing the World More Clearly, aired March 30th. The N-Vision Glasses is a digital eyewear solution that helps visually impaired people read text, recognize objects, make video calls, and much more. Hosts Nancy and Peter Torpy talk with N-Vision co-founder Karthik Kannan, K-A-R-T-H-I-K-K-A-N-N-A-N, about the glasses and how they are designed to empower low-vision people to be more independent and help with everyday tasks. You can now subscribe to Eyes on Success on our new YouTube channel at https://www.youtube.com/c/. Eyes on Success with hosts Peter and Nancy Torpy. That's spelled T-O-R-P-E-Y. To listen to other episodes from our searchable archive of over 500, go to www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can subscribe to the podcast or listen on your smart home device by saying, play the Eyes on Success podcast. Do you have a service pertaining to the blind community? Or do you offer training such as computer training or guitar lessons? Now 75 words or less post at no cost. Longer notices can also be placed with costs dependent on the word count. Email me for prices and guidelines, foodlady@theblindpost.com. Lori Motis, Blind Post Classified News Editor. Business and Employment Opportunities. Do you have a business or a job opportunity that the Blind Post readers would like to know about? Email foodlady@theblindpost.com and I will let you know the cost and if it is suitable for the next issue. Now, 75 words or less is free. I'm run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Please be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I hope you had a wonderful Passover and Easter weekend.